So we come to today's text, and we are reminded of the big picture. Jesus is still in the upper room. He's still talking to his disciples and preparing them for his departure. He wants them to get the message that everything that is happening is planned, that it is not out of God's purview, it is not out of God's sovereignty. God is still in control, no matter what the picture looks like, no matter what the images would say. He's saying, no, this is under control. He says, I'm going to leave you. Now, we know that when he said, I'm going to leave you, he means he's going to die. That still hadn't communicated fully to his disciples. They're trying to get it. They get it partially. But they're still struggling with this whole idea that the Messiah could actually be crucified. Again, he doesn't want his disciples to think that this is unanticipated and that something that he is not willing to happen is taking place. He is actually submitting to everything that is going on because he knows that this was the Father's plan from the very beginning. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, get ready because something bad is about to happen. Now, all of us have bad things happen, and we'll come back to more of that in a few minutes. The next thing that Jesus does in this passage is he continues with the theme of Father. What does he mean when he talks about the Father? In chapter 14, he introduces, again, from chapter 13 to chapter 17, this is all one message with Jesus sitting with his disciples, having had the Passover meal, and now he's preparing them for his imminent departure. And so in chapter 14, he says to them, in my Father's home are many rooms, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. In other words, you guys, we need to be with the Father, is part of the introduction that he gives there in chapter 14. He tells them, I am the way to the Father. The disciples said, we don't know the way to where you're going. He says, yes, I am the way. If you know me, you know the way. If you believe in me, you have found the way. Jesus says, I am the way to my Father. And Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough. Lord, if this is you, how great must the Father be? And Jesus replies, if you know me, you know my Father as well. To see me is to see my Father. We are one, one heart, one mind, one person. Again, in chapter 15, Jesus says, my Father is the gardener. I am the vine. You are the branches. You remember that message? Yeah. My Father is the gardener. My Father is in control. My Father is the one who's planning everything. He sees all that is going on. Again, in today's text, in chapter 16, Jesus refers to the Father. He comes back to speak of the Father once more. In verse 18, he says, I am going to the Father. This is how he viewed his coming death. Not as, I'm going to die, I'm going to suffer, this is going to be miserable. But he sees the end. The end is the very presence of the Father. And if that is the end, then he is full of hope. Then he can continue to live through the ordeal that he is about to face. In verses 25 through 28, Jesus once again points to the Father. And he says, the Father loves you. Do we get that message? The Father loves you. We don't have to go through a third party. We can go directly to the Father, is what Jesus says. The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Go to the Father in my name. Don't be afraid. He is a good Father. He is a Father who has compassion. He is a Father who understands our need. He is a Father who is willing to meet us where we are, to embrace us where we are. And we know that the Gospel of John was written, according to chapter 20, verse 31, that you might believe and by believing you may have life in his name. And he introduces, John the author introduces the theme of believing again. In verse 30 it said, "Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." See, they were asking the question among themselves, but they were afraid to ask Jesus. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were doing. And so he says, "Look, this is what you're asking. I will go ahead and answer you." And they say, "Wow, we didn't even have to ask him. Did you see that? Wasn't that amazing? Wow, he really must be from God." Now, Jesus probably laughed a little bit, but it brings them to a place of saying, "Now we believe," which makes me say, "What have you been doing all this time for the past 3.5 years? Have you not believed?" But there was something triggered that made them say, "Yes, this is the Messiah, the one from God, the one who came to show us the path to truth, to life, to love, to wholeness, to completeness, to eternity." And Jesus, I don't know if it's somewhat sarcastically, tongue-in-cheek, or genuine. I mean, as I read these words, in verse 31, it says, "You believe at last." Remember, Jesus is about to go to the cross. And so it's like he's looking at them and saying, "Finally, you finally get it." It can also be translated as a question. Do you really believe? So in different translations, you can find it phrased a little bit differently. Jesus responds to them. He wants them to believe. He wants them to have life. He wants them to engage. He wants them to know. He says, "You believe at last." And so there is the big picture that is being painted here to get us to the point of belief. This is the last night with his disciples. They've taken their last meal together. He wants them to believe and to have life. And so there's the big picture of the text. But as we pray through the text, we also see a very personal message. God speaks to us in these words in our current concerns, our current situations, our current contexts. God speaks to us in the troubled times in which we find ourselves today. Do we face challenges? Sure. Do we not know what to do? Most of the time. Are we disappointed or discouraged? Frequently. Do we have any fears? Certainly. This text spoke to his disciples who were actually in a very similar emotional state, wondering what was going on, not understanding everything that was being said and what was going on around them. So too, it speaks to us today. And I love the phrase that begins in verse 16, "In a little while." In a little while. Boy, I think that it is so important for us to remember this. He says it in verse 16. He repeats it it's repeated in verse 17. The disciples say, what does he mean by saying, "In a little while"? And then they say again, "And then in a little while." In verse 18, what does he mean by "in a little while"? Jesus in verse 19 then says, are you bothered when I say "in a little while"? So it's repeated over and over again right here in these verses consecutively. In a little while. And you know what? For me, praying through this text and preparing, it really hit my heart. In a little while. The transient nature of the life we live. The temporary nature of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. It seems like it was just a little while ago that my wife and I were at the hospital giving birth to our first child. Now that child has 3 children of her own. In a little while. It seems that it was just a short time ago that I began a work at the university. Already 15 years have gone by. wow, in a little while, the transient nature of the life that we live. And we never know when that life is going to come to an end. When we face difficulty, it seems like it's going to go on forever, does it not? When will this end? How long can this continue? Are questions that we ask ourselves and we become concerned about. Jesus says, no, that's not the case. Even the situation we are in now will pass. It will be gone. And then we will face something new. We will move on to something else. Know that whatever it is we are facing is temporary, just like our time on this earth. Where will we be in a little while? Jesus says, with the Father. In a little while, we'll be with the Father. If we can remember this phrase of Jesus, in a little while, it could be a great help to us because we know that whatever it is that we are going through will come to an end. And then Jesus moves to the next thing that we want to think about. He says, you will grieve. You will grieve. In verses 20 and 22, and it seems to be emphatic. Look at the synonyms Jesus uses. He says, you will weep, you will mourn, you will grieve. Do you hear what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is acknowledging that our grief, our sorrow, our sadness, our pain is real. It's not made up. It's not something that if we just have more faith, we'll disappear. God made us as emotional feeling beings. And sometimes if we don't feel sorrow, pain, or hurt, maybe there's something wrong with us. At that point, there is real grief and pain in this world. Jesus doesn't deny it. He doesn't simply tell us, suck it up. He doesn't say, get over it. We often think that something is wrong with us if we aren't feeling happy or joyful. After all, we're Christians and we know the end, and so we should be happy. No. God doesn't call us to a false joy. When there is pain, when there is sorrow, when there is suffering, we should be able to recognize it. One of the early Beatitudes that Jesus speaks in Matthew chapter 5 is, blessed are those who mourn. Do we know how to mourn? Do we know how to grieve? Do we know how to feel the pain of another? Do we know how to embrace another's suffering, our own suffering? Jesus lets us know it's okay to hurt. It's okay to feel sorrow. And so we don't want to ignore the pain or hurt we experience, though we often try to run from it. I think that God often uses that which is difficult for us to shape us, to transform us, to let us maybe die a little bit more to ourselves, that Christ may live a little bit more within us. And whatever the grief is, remember, it's only for a little while. It will pass. And then we come to one of my favorite words. I call it a wonderful theological word, the word but. But this is key. This is the transforming moment. Something is changing. And I want you to look at these verses with me in verse 20 and then through the end of the chapter. I'll just point out certain verses that shift the whole message that Jesus is speaking. In verse 20, it says, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Verse 21, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy. Verse 22, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away. Verse 25, though I've been speaking with you figuratively, but will tell you plainly about my Father. You see, each of these is introducing the opposite, a transition, a transformation, a dynamic change, a shift that is taking place. In verse 32, he says, you will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Yet I'm not alone. In verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. So Jesus is saying there is a transition that is taking place. What are these transitions that we see? Well, the first one that we see very, very clearly is God's kingdom culminates in joy. God's kingdom culminates in joy. In verse 20, he says, your grief will turn to joy. Not by willpower, but by change of circumstance. What caused the sorrow was Jesus departing from them, them not being able to see him anymore, his death. What brings them joy is his life, his resurrection. They can see him again. They can fellowship with him again. They can know him once more. And so what we see that grief turns to joy. In verse 22, he says, you will see me and rejoice. Somehow, the rejoicing that we enter, the joy that we feel, is the result of seeing Jesus, of knowing he is alive, of knowing he is with us. This carries us to where we need to be, to where we need to go. In verse 22, he says, no one will take your joy away. My mind goes to the early church and the martyrs of the faith, whether it was in the Roman Colosseum, whether it was beheadings, the people that died for the faith. No one could take away what they had because they saw in a little while. Because they knew that where they were was temporary. Because God met them and gave them strength in the midst of it. When Stephen was being stoned in Acts, he looked towards heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father to welcome him. He saw Jesus. And that gave him joy in the midst of what he was going through. In verse 24, it says, your joy will be complete. It will be full. It will sustain you. It will give you power, even though you draw from it to get the power that you need. It won't run out. It won't deplete itself because it comes from seeing with Jesus. It comes from being with Jesus. It comes from his life in us. See the end, or at least remember that there is an end of the trials and the struggle, and let that strengthen us. He also says, you will never be alone. Never alone. You all will abandon me. You all will run away. You all will leave me. Yet, I am not alone because the Father is with me. Do we understand this reality? Again, praying through the text and hearing the voice of God in the midst of it. We have struggles. But God's word is very clear. We're never alone. That he is always with us. He is always for us. Jesus says, no matter the appearances, no matter the feelings, our Father is with us. He himself took the name Emmanuel, God with us. Know, sisters and brothers, that we're never alone. And then in verse 33, he says, take heart. Take heart. Looking at this verse, he begins by saying, I've told you these things, that is, I'm going to die, you are going to grieve, you are going to mourn, but in the end it will be okay. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Huh. How many of us are troubled? How many of us need peace? It is available to us if we find it in Him. Outside of Him, it's an act of willpower, and it doesn't get us very far. It is in Jesus when we see the beginning from the end, when we know that He loves us and things are under His control, that we can stop fighting and find peace. Peace is available if we want it, if we will accept it. In this world, you will have trouble. Don't be surprised. Don't let it overwhelm you. You will have trouble. Don't let trouble direct your life or dominate your story. Take heart. Be of good courage. Stand firm. How can we do that? In the midst of everything that's going on, how can we take heart? Jesus says, because I have overcome the world. Because I have overcome the world, you can too. Because I have overcome the world, you can have peace. Because I have overcome the world, you can have joy. Because I have conquered death, you can have hope. Because I am eternal, you can know that in a little while, it's going to be all right. So for us today, can we hear God speaking? Can we hear His voice through all that is going on as He offers us this joy that is full, that is complete, that will not be overcome? Can we receive from Him all that He would give us? As we end today's message, I want to lead us in a time of prayer for just a minute. I ask you to come before the Lord in your own way at this time, and I'm going to lead you through this time of prayer. I want you to engage in self-reflection. Look inside. Look in your heart and listen to God speaking to you. Bring your grief, your sorrow, your pain, your confusion. If you have struggle, right now own it and say, God, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what is difficult for me. I bring it to you right now. Now, I want you to see Jesus joining you in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of that thing that is challenging you, in the midst of your difficulty. He says, you're not alone. I am here with you. Hear His message, but He's speaking it to us in our hearts right now. God brings transformation. Open the door of your heart and invite God to work inside. Now imagine God offering you with His hands the gift of peace, the gift of hope, the gift of joy right now. Lord Jesus, we come to You. We bring these things that have been our trouble to You. We thank You for the joy that You have given us. We thank You that peace is given to us. We thank You that we can see You because You reveal Yourself to us. We thank You that the difficulties are only temporary, and that in a little while they will pass. And so, according to Your word, Lord, we take heart, knowing that You have overcome the world. We embrace what You would do for us, giving You thanks. In Jesus' name,